are you?
Good. How are you?
I am wonderful. So, Miss Joanna Angel.
That's me.
That is you, the fucking legend.
Hello, hello.
I'm sitting here with my glasses off, like I'm going to be able to tell or read without my glasses.
Are you going to read me a story?
That'll be the second time today then.
Yeah.
Or at least I threatened to. So, as usual, ladies and gentlemen, we just finished up a shoot and the beautiful Joanna decided to hang out and do a podcast with us.
Yeah.
So I got a couple prepared questions. I don't have a lot. I just figured we'd just kind of shoot the shit.
Just going to talk.
Yeah, we're just going to talk.
We're just going to bullshit.
Because, like I said, you're a fucking legend and you've been...
Stop.
You don't look it, but you've been in the industry for a little bit.
Yeah, quite a while.
What was it like when you started Burning Angel? Like, what was it?
Ooh.
Yeah, let's go back.
It was a different lifetime. Some people are like, God, you've been in the industry for almost 20 years. Isn't that, do you get sick of it? And I'm like, I couldn't get sick of it because every like year or two or three of my career has been so drastically different. So it almost feels like I was in school, but porn, like the beginning of Burning Angel was like elementary school.
Right.
And then, when it started to take off, it was like my high school. And then when I moved to LA, it was like, what I mean? Like
Burning Angel started back in New York. Then it wasn't.
It started in New York. I mean, actually it really started in New Jersey.
Oh shit.
Cause I was at Rutgers University, living in a on-campus house. So I guess really it started. I mean, look, when you have a website, it exists on the web.
Right, exactly.
And it's not like we had a big office or anything like that or any office at all. It's pretty much operating out of a laptop in my bedroom.
Right. Like most of us were back then.
but that bedroom was in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then moved to New York, to Brooklyn.
Right.
We were there for a while. And then we actually did have an office in Brooklyn. And then at some point I moved to LA, but I was going back and forth from New York to LA a lot.
Okay.
And that was in Burning Angel launched in 2002. I mean, it's like I'm talking about the Stone Age at that point.
For a lot of people listening, they're probably like 2002. There were computers back then.
Yeah. I mean, this was before Facebook, before Twitter, before Instagram, before
MySpace,
before anything. There was, there was
before there was a Google. Well, before there was the term Google it.
Yeah, right. Like before people had smartphones. Before people even had the slowest. 1G.
Right.
Before people had data on their phones. This was like.
There were no apps.
There were no apps. Apps had not been created.
At that point,
there was no iPhone yet.
No,
it was like Sprint flip phones.
Yeah, the little flip phone clamshell things.
At some point, a few years later, the BlackBerry came into existence,
right.
And the Sidekick.
I remember
the Sidekick. I had a Sidekick, but even in 2002, that was pre Sidekick. That was just like. Cell phone.
And that was if you had one.
If you had one,
most people still didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of my friends that didn't have one, I mean, it was a complete different lifetime and I was living in a different world. I mean, I was in college,
right.
I didn't know anyone in the industry. I didn't know anything about the industry. It wasn't easy to just go on Twitter and see what every single porn star was saying or doing or eating or hanging out with, or porn stars were not like humanized back then. Like you only saw them in a porn.
Right.
That was it. Just like musicians or actors. You only saw them unless there was some big interview,
right.
in a magazine or on TV, some expose or something, and you didn't know anything. And at least with music and Hollywood and stuff, there was plenty of, stuff you could read to find out a little bit more about these people. But porn, I knew nothing,
know?
I think my extent to my porn knowledge at that time was like, I knew that the girl on the cover of a Blink 182 album was a porn star.
I'm trying to think. 2002. What the fuck? You know what? I knew a little more about porn, but only because in 2002. I mean,
you're a little older.
Well, I was working at a porn store. Oh, okay. So I was selling the stuff before I started making it. Yeah. That's the only
porn
reason.
Porn stores.
But this is real VHS.
Yeah.
If anybody knows what that is, it's listening.
Yeah, and porn was not like, so, you know, women at that point in time, especially in my circle, like it was not like this open, like sex positive, like women love to just get together right. and talk about masturbating and sex and stuff like that was not like a really big thing, you right. know? So while all my dude friends knew about porn, Yeah, no, never. I didn't know. I mean, now I think every girl growing up probably has like, a favorite porn star, just like the same way she, right. you know, she'd have, but I did not know any, I couldn't have named five porn stars other than Janine because she was on the cover of Blink 182.
So what made it? What,
so yeah, I know this is it.
No, I love
Joanna
it.
Joanna history.
I love this though.
I know it doesn't seem real when I talk about it. It's so funny. I feel like I'm telling you about a movie I watched. It's so long ago.
I feel I'm the same way though. Cause when I got in, it was the same. I came in 2 years later mm-hmm. and it was that same situation where it was like I tell people this and they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, there's like, I remember the, hey, Google it. When people would start, when they first started using that term, I'm like, the fuck are you, what do you mean Google it?
Right.
And so it's like people, when I tell that story, people
and you
like,
would have to type in www.google.com.
Right. And there was no, it's all of it's changed so much. And
I don't even remember what it looked like because it wasn't a part of my everyday thing to like Google something.
Or to be on a fucking cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I was a senior in college. My roommate had asked me if I wanted to start a porn site with him. I at first thought he was joking. Then when I realized he wasn't joking, I was like, yeah, let's do it. I knew nothing about porn. I was like very, I was a writer. I mean, I still am a writer.
Right.
But I was majoring in writing and I guess I always wrote these like erotic kind of stories in my writing class and I would like bring them home to my eight dude roommates and read it to them. Like, I don't know why.
We needed an audience. You need to bounce it off of someone.
Becoming this, yeah, I think I didn't even know, you know, I was becoming this sort of like sex positive nerdy person right. without really anyone to express it to. And I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. My roommate just asked if I wanted to do it, to start it with him. And I was like, okay, let's do this. I literally knew nothing. Right. Like, I knew nothing about porn. And that was just how it began.
Now what came first, the name of the porn site or your stage name?
The name of the porn site. So, so then it was like, we want to start this. And also, what a lot of people don't know is the earliest inception of Burning Angel in 2002, it was only photographs. There wasn't even videos, just photographs.
Right.
Okay. And I remember just asking my friends and like friends of friends. I don't know. I didn't think it would be so difficult, like asking if they wanted to like be on this website. And you know, when you think back on it now, I sounded like the sketchiest person on earth. Like, right. we had no professional photography. We borrowed a digital camera from like someone's mom, you know, like we were doing this in this like shitty, like punk house that I lived in with a bunch of people, you know, like random people always sleeping on the couch. I don't know. But to me, like, I don't know. Nothing seemed weird about it, but thinking back to it now,
at the level you are now, yeah. You're like,
no. How did I do that? Yeah. Everybody was a surprise. Everyone was saying no. And I remember even like we were trying to figure out how much we could pay, you know, cause I was like paying with my like waitressing money. And I'm right. like, you know, the number just kind of kept going up. And I was like, well, why don't these girls want to do it? And the first thing that people would ask me, they'd be like, well, are you doing it? And I was like, oh, no, I'm just going to be like running it. You know, right. But I really like was not, I was not even thinking that would be like an option. You know, I never thought of myself like that.
Oh, so you never thought I'm going to get in front of the camera?
No. And then when I was like, I'm like, well, I do sound like a hypocrite that I'm asking girls to do something that I wouldn't do myself.
Right.
I'm like, so yeah, I'm going to do this. And then I came home and I told my roommate, I'm like, you know, I really can't be asking people to do something that I wouldn't do. So let's take naked pictures of me. Let's go upstairs and do this. So it's kind of funny. Every girl, I feel like, has this like very big turning point of their first day on a porn set. And like, technically, I just walked into my bedroom and my roommate took pictures of me. And I guess I got into porn right at that moment, you know? Yeah, and I was like, and then I remember after I did it, I liked it. I don't know. I was like, oh, that was fun. Right. And then I kind of forgot about it because after that, then, you know, I went back to trying to find other girls to do it. And then after I had done it, it was easier for me to do it. It was easier for me to be right on the other side of the camera when girls came over. I'm like, oh, do this, just making shit up as they went along, right, you know? But I was like, I could be like, you know, more on their level.
Right.
And then there was so much work just to get the website up, you know, like finding someone who... This was such a like taped hack together operation. Like, I can't even believe.
I feel like a lot of worked. Them started that way and then they found their footing.
Exactly. So I was just so busy for 8 months or whatever it was from the time that we thought of starting this to the time it went up, trying to get this thing off the ground. You know what I mean? Trying to find a person that knew programming and a person that knew this. And then we need to call this number to get a credit card and do this and do right. this and setting up a bank account and just doing all this stuff. It's almost like at a certain point, I forgot that I took those photos.
Right. And then it launched.
And then it was like, I was so happy that the website launched because there were so many like, dates that we thought the website was going to launch and something happened and it didn't right. launch, you know, like it's almost like, I don't know. I was like so relieved that it launched.
Right.
And I just kind of forgot. I was so wrapped up in my own thing. I forgot that people think it's strange when you take naked photos and put, especially at that time, you know?
Right.
And it was a life-changing moment, you know? I mean, I know I've told this story before, so I apologize to anyone out there if you've heard it, but it was. It launched on 4/20, 2002, April 20th.
No shit.
Yeah, which is a pretty big holiday in college campuses. And there was a party at my house, a very big one. You know, like I said, I lived with a lot of people, and there was right. actually a show going on in my basement. I ate some brownies, vegan ones, vegan pop mm-hmm. brownies. And I just remember, you know, walking around. And so it was weird to begin with because I'd eaten the brownies. So everything was already heightened. Right. And I just remembered, like, I left my bedroom and I walked downstairs and I'm seeing all the same people I see all the time. This was like my circle of friends, the people right. I was in class with. Like at that point I was a senior. So there were people that I'd been, you know, living right next to
right.
for years at that point. Everyone was stopping me and they were like, are you in the porn industry? Do you know? Like what happened? Like, oh my God. And I remember people were pulling me aside and asking me like, I heard that you made a porn. Is that really feminist? Are you forcing other girls to do porn? Are you doing this? What do you think about feminism and punk rock? And like, do you think that porn is degrading to women? Like, I thought that you were this. And I thought it was like I was in a scary movie. I was like, oh, I just like started this cool website. And like, I don't know.
Everybody kind of fucking turned on you.
They were either really, really, really intrigued and they wanted to like know more.
Right.
Or they were really, really disgusted. Friends that I'd known forever were like not talking to me. Friends that I was never really close with had a million questions for me.
Right.
I remember going downstairs and like, this is my house.
Right.
And there was a band playing. And I remember it was like a female fronted band and a band I really liked. And right. I owned all their merch and everything. And the female... literally in between a song, took a whole like break to give this whole long speech about respecting women and domestic violence and pornography, like causing violence towards women. And this is like a punk rock, like, you know, we're not.
Right.
And I was like, wait a second, she's talking to me.
She's talking about me.
And then she, you know, and she was telling this, you know, just talking about like sexual abuse and this and that, and tied it into pornography, you know, this whole long, like
right.
political speech. I was like, oh my God, like what is going on here? You know? And
just fucking pictures.
Yeah. And I was like, I did not expect to be like a spokesperson for
right.
so many things just by going in my bedroom and taking a few naked photos, you know, like I thought, you know, I was in this punk rock scene where all my friends put out their own albums and started their own record labels and made their own t-shirts. And I thought, you know, making my own porn site was just along with everything else. And
right.
we all supported each other, you know, in that scene, like whether we liked the band or we didn't like the band or whatever it was, we all just supported each other because we were so happy to be doing like a DIY thing and not being part of the
thing.
Right. And I just thought that like I did everything appropriate to the punk rock code, you know, so everyone should be okay with it.
Right. Which I feel like looking back in retrospect, I feel like that it was. That's about as punk rock as you can fucking
right.
get. Right.
And this was not. Sometimes I read rumors about myself, and not so much anymore, but like, oh, that Burning Angel was started by some big company and this and that. And like, it was not. This right. is the truth, you know? Like, me and my roommate just fucking pulled together all of our resources, you know. There was like half of Burning Angel was made in the computer lab in my college with our friend who was a programmer going there late at night and like no like shit. Doing code there and stuff. Like, yeah, like we were not, you know, started in some right. by some .comers, you know. And yeah, I remember that day and I was like, I like left the show in my own house. I ran up the stairs. I went into my bedroom and I was like, what the fuck did I just do? I was like, I don't know what I just did. I was like, ah. And then I remember, I mean, it was a very big turning point in my life. I was like, I have two choices right now. I either need to make this thing amazing.
Right.
Or I need to take it off the internet right now.
Right now.
And move.
Change colleges.
Far away. And never come back.
Right.
And I was like, all right. I did this. I'm going to fucking make this awesome. And also, I was a very big, like, political activist in college, you know, and I remember, like, always going to, like, all these protests and, you know, for animal rights, for human rights, trying to, you know, sending letters, signing petitions, you know, and like,
right.
I remember standing outside in the college campus, like in the freezing cold, trying to make people sign these petitions and about really horrible things, you know,
right.
political prisoners, people that were, you know, on death row for the wrong reasons and this and that for actual real problems.
Right.
And people wouldn't even stop on their way to the cafeteria to even hear about it. You know, it's like,
because you're that porn girl.
Well, no. I mean like before.
That, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Like just my whole life, I dealt with being a political activist that I felt like barely anybody cared. Even
right.
when I strapped myself to like something and I'm trying to like really make a good message come across.
Right.
And then I'm like, you put a few naked pictures on the internet and everybody wants to stop and ask you about it. Like everybody.
So suddenly
you know?
We're all interested.
Nobody cares. Someone's about to die for all the wrong reasons.
Right. But hey, you're doing porn now?
And I'm like, well, this is, I just realized, I'm like, this is a very, very, very powerful thing. And I can do some really cool things with this. And
right.
that was like just a, you know, I'm like literally everybody has some kind of something to say about it. And so I was like, all right, here we go. Let's make this happen.
And you did it.
So that's why I never had a stage name. My real name is Joanna. I never thought I was going to be famous.
Right.
You know, I didn't get into this thinking like I would need a pseudonym to like, you know, and so I just, my name on the website was just Joanna. And then like at a certain point, I don't know. I was like, oh, I guess porn stars have like last names. I need like a last yeah. name. So I just picked Angel. Like,
I forgot about that. Yeah. There was a minute, even when I started, because like I said, we started damn near at the same time.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of girls that there was a single name. There was the Joannas or there were the Sashas or there, but there was,
right.
and then it was like the internet started getting bigger and bigger and they were like, no, you can't just
right.
be Joanna, you have
yeah,
to be
yeah.
somebody else, or at least give us a last name.
So, yeah, that was the start.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was the start. Really crazy. Yeah, it doesn't sound real to me. Like,
it sounds like a hell of a fucking ride.
It was. You know, and I still had a little bit more left of school. You know, so I went through that last semester in school being in porn and thinking about it now, like who in college doesn't have naked pictures on the internet? It's so especially normal with these now. Things. Like,
dick pics.
Yeah, I remember I got pulled aside by like one of my teachers in class being like, you know, I heard about your thing and you know, it's a distraction in class. And I'm like, yo, dude, like I'm a fucking senior. I'm about to graduate. I'm like, please, my parents like will kill me if I don't graduate. You know, like,
right.
I'm like, what is the distraction? You know, like,
I can't help how people is this a big deal? Googling.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure looking back on it now, I mean, Burning Angel was nothing compared to like all the big porn sites out there. But when everybody around you is looking at it, it feels like the whole world, you know, when you're in college, your campus is
the world.
The world, you know? So it really felt like everywhere I went, that's all anybody was talking about.
Right.
Which was very weird to me. I was not used to being like that girl that everybody talked about. So
do you feel like it fueled you once you,
it did.
That was one of those, like, now you motherfuckers, I'm going to show you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean, for, you know, I wanted to show everyone and I was very excited to have, a platform. Right. I was like, and what am I, you know, now what do I do with this?
Right.
You know,
now that you have
it. Kind of part two.
Because like, I've seen that.
What do
happen?
I do with this? Yeah. And it's been a really interesting voyage, you know? Yeah.
Have you, I'm sure you've noticed this because you've obviously directed for such a long time.
Yeah.
Because there's girls that have shown up in this industry and they got that voice. Because they had, but it was through social media. It wasn't because you were a girl on a college campus who started your own company, but these girls suddenly went from working at a drive-through somewhere to
right,
suddenly
to having 400,000 followers.
And they all of a sudden are like, well, the world's listening.
Right. That's true.
And then their careers dumped. Like there was a girl who, and I don't remember her name, and I don't know if you knew about, apparently it was a bigger thing than I knew of because I'd barely heard of her, but I was thinking about shooting the girl and someone was like, she's already out of the business. I was like, she's blowing up. And they're like, well, she kind of got super racist on her social
media. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I don't even remember who she was now, but I was like, I can't fucking believe that. And that she was gone that quick. And she felt that.
That like her, that's what she should use her voice to do.
Yeah. And I was like, you were climbing.
Yeah. But, you know, it was a different time.
Pros versus the, not pros, the amateurs.
But hey, everybody's free to do what they want.
Now, did the band keep moving along? Is the band still around? I'm kind of curious, was there a follow-up of the band saying, hey, look, I'm sorry.
No, I was like, you know what? This is how they feel. That's okay. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think I've listened to that band since.
Welcome.
Since that day, I don't think they're still around.
It's weird though that it's like you said with the punk rock, the old school punk rock, and we say old school because we're not talking about you guys with your punk because they're still punk rock. I'm like, it's not the same punk rock. I mean,
but you know, people said that about like I remember having older friends in the punk scene that like. Didn't, you know, everybody's always jaded about the people who come in after them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was like, they had switched over their rude boys now or whatever, and they're like, you're not punk, punk's dead. And it's like, come on, I'm sorry.
And I hope there still are, you know, kids playing shows in basements and, you know, starting their own shit. And I know it's different now. The internet kind of changed stuff.
I mean, Well, I think the term punk rock changed. I think now, because I hear people all the time be like, oh, that's so punk rock. And I'm like, that's not fucking punk rock. That's not even pop. Like, like whatever they, and I can't think of an example, but like the term has kind of become, I think it's lost its punch for lack of a better term. Like it doesn't have the, used to punk rock was punk rock.
Yeah.
And now people are like, so-and-so saved a puppy. And it's like, oh, that's so punk rock. And it's like, I don't know if punk rock's the right term.
The right, you know, it's a very noble thing. But
yeah, it was really cool that they did it, but I don't know if it's punk rock. So.
Yeah. But, you know, some people turned against me and some people really, really stuck up for me.
But that's when you start to find out who the real friends are.
Yeah. Those are friends I had forever. And I'll always remember some very important, people and like some of them, they were big bands to me, not big bands like on the radio, but in the bigger punk bands, like vocally stuck up for me. So that was pretty cool. And I remember being on it's forever ago, you know, and like some message board and somebody like had like taken the photos off Burning Angel of me and like post them there, and everybody was weighing in on their opinion, you know, like, she's hot, she's not, she's ugly, why the fuck is she naked, you know, like, oh, she's hot, you know. And I just remember looking, I was like, whoa, I didn't think about this, you know,
that part.
But
yeah.
But from that day on, I'm like, you know, because I remember like sitting there being like, I'm going to write a great response to these people about how wonderful this website is. And I was like, you know, and I just remember like taking my fingers back. I was like, I'm never going to reply to people, you know, let people talk about me. They can say whatever they want,
right?
You know, whether it's good or it's bad, like I should not reply. That's
right.
That's lame. And to this day, I never have.
And it's hard because there are some hateful motherfuckers out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like their number one goal is to just fucking be mean to people.
Yeah,
and
they're trying to get a rise out of you. And, yeah, you know.
And unfortunately,
but that's what comes with, you know, we have freedom of speech here. People can say whatever they want, right, you know, and they're entitled to say that. And that right should not be taken away from them.
No, not at all. They're allowed to be. I mean, there's people that have died for them to be an asshole.
Exactly. Exactly. So let them speak.
Yeah. You know? And that's the thing, too, I think, that comes with the territory of being a celebrity. Well, because I'm the same way. I'm like, I don't like being that term used on me. But when you get to a point where you're in the public eye.
Yeah. Right,
and it comes with it. There's going to be people who talk shit. Like when I feel like a small way of measuring success is figuring out how many people start to hate you because of where you are. And it's whatever reason it is.
Yeah.
And it sucks, but I mean.
Yeah. But for the most part, I've been very thankful and grateful. I think also because I never put like negative energy out there, and I don't sit there and type angry responses to anybody. Like,
well,
I really don't get a lot of hate. Knock on wood. You know what I mean? Like, I have great, great fans.
I've got most of,
you know,
most of mine are.
And yeah, from the BDSM community, I mean, they're so loyal.
They're super loyal. Yeah. But then there's the ones who you get the fuck's he doing with her? Why is she hanging out with him? Whatever. So there's that stuff.
Yeah.
In it, but there's that's why I asked you never write it. Because if someone does something to me, I'm like, you motherfucker, I will fucking rip your fucking head off and shit down your throat. And then I'm like, boop, delete.
Yeah, no.
I get it all out of my system. And
I like
just
to
never
joke with them sometimes. You know?
I am smart assy with them.
Yeah.
And the bad part is when they don't catch the smart ass and they think you're being serious. And I'm like, well, fuck, that's not even fun anymore.
Yeah.
And just let it be.
These days, on the like rare occasion, I'll get someone who's like, you're so old, why are you still doing this? And I'm like, because I'm like, I'm sorry, I age at the same rate as everybody else.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
There's really not much I can do about it.
No. But it's like I said, I've said this before. I want to be able to not harm anyone, because I'm not for doing it this reason. Because I don't want to do the comparison of like Silent Bob and Jay, or Jay and Silent Bob, where they had all the money and they bought the list of all the shit talkers and they went around and punched them all in the face.
Yeah.
I don't want to punch them in the face. But I would love to silhouette them, change their voice, but sit down and interview people who are like hardcore trolls and just be like, why are you so fucking mad?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, they'd probably be like, dude, you're a dick. Shut up. You're stupid. You're funny. Be like,
or they probably wouldn't even say anything in person.
Yeah, they'd probably be like, no.
A lot of people, you can say anything when you're behind a keyboard.
Yeah, I'm not Jack Smack.
Yeah.
You're back 77342.
Yeah.
Sorry if that's your handle. I'm not accusing anyone specifically. So when you first started, because obviously you are, I say obviously because I was a fan way before we worked together, you kind of broke ground on the alt thing, because when we first started making porn, if a girl showed up and had one of your finger tattoos,
that's so weird.
Go
to
home.
Think of that.
You can't. Right? You gotta go. And I don't care if it was Phoenix Marie or Angela, like whatever level you were at. If you showed up with a tattoo, go home.
Right.
And
even a kink.
Yeah, even like in bondage period, like if a girl showed up and she had any tattoos. And I started shooting, there was a girl, and you may have shot her. You may know Reagan Reese.
Yeah, I shot her.
She was one of the first alt girls. Her, Candy Manson, those were the girls that I am. Mm-hmm. And my boss was like, we don't shoot tattoo girls. And I was like, I do. Because I like tattoo girls.
You're like, why? Yeah, it's so weird. When you think of like jobs you can't get with tattoos, you really wouldn't think porn would be on that list, you know? Yeah, and I try to really not claim that, because that title is kind of embarrassing at this point, because tattoos are so like normal now.
It's not what
that
it
like
used
people
to be.
Are like, Joanna, you're really like groundbreaking for like bringing girls with tattoos into porn. I'm like, you know, like that like sounds like nails on a chalkboard now. It sounds like somebody patting somebody on the head for something that's so obvious.
Right.
You know what I mean? But at the time, it really was a big deal, and I think you know. From the beginning, like I said, I didn't know anything about the porn industry at all. I was putting the world that I existed in
right.
into my porn site. So I really didn't even know until like probably a year or two into like owning Burning Angel that like tattoos in porn was this like groundbreaking thing.
Right.
And at the time, it wasn't even about tattoos. It was about... We called it punk porn in the
right.
beginning.
Which, yeah, is what
know?
It was.
And then it kind of changed. People started calling it alt porn.
Right. Capital A-L-T.
Yeah, and then at a certain point, people were like, it's tattoo porn. I'm like, I don't know. Call it whatever you want.
I still go with
keep
I,
making
I
my
like
thing,
alt.
You know?
I like the alt thing.
Yeah, yeah. That was like a real, you know, real term for a while.
People still bitch about it, though. I still get things that they come on, and if it's not Joanna, or if it's not Krista, or if it's not... you know, Bonnie Rotten. If it's not these girls that are at a certain level and it's just some girl, they're like, what the fuck? I hate all these tattoos. And I'm like, you know, stop. You don't get the, and there's nothing wrong with these girls, but you don't get to just have the bleach blonde, fake tit, white girl. Like there's more to porn than just that
yeah.
thing. And in 2019, almost 2020, the fact that people are still throwing, if you don't like the tattoos, skip
yeah.
it.
No, I mean, and sometimes, you know, when I see that, you know, when I'm on like some website that isn't so tattoo friendly and people are like, I'm sorry, I can't watch this. The tattoos, I just hate them. And I'll just be
or they're
like,
distracting.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be looking at the pussy.
Yeah. I just always say, okay, I'll wash them off in the shower next time I do a scene. That's my token response when someone's like,
You're so nice.
Yeah, I'm nice. Okay, I'll try to wash them off next time and I'll see what happens.
That's my goal. That's what I'm slowly working towards, is being a nicer person.
Well, it's like killing them with kindness, I think.
And I'm working on that, but mine usually starts with motherfucker. And then I'm like, take a breath, take a breath.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I guess that was my claim to fame. But,
now, were you as, I mean, obviously you've acquired ink throughout your life.
I have, yeah. It's super embarrassing now because when I first started in porn, I had like no tattoos at all, but my entire persona revolved around the tattooed girl in porn. When I look back at it, I'm like, I had like two big tattoos and somehow it was like this crazy thing that I wound up in porn.
Right.
And it was like the headline of every interview, every movie I did was like, tattoo this. Like,
well, it was a selling point.
Yeah. And I was like, that's so weird because looking back on it now, like I feel like if anyone finds those old movies now, they're going to be like, I was looking for a tattooed girl and there's no actual tattooed girl in this movie because
I
have so few. Yeah. So yeah, I guess it's plainly obvious that over time I used my money on tattoos.
I worked my ass off for more tattoos.
The more tattoos I got.
Cause they have the, what's the award?
There's more I want to get. But now, you know, you get older and it's exhausting. Almost.
Well, see, that's
you got to find the time. You know,
that's the key is finding the time to sit here and go, I'm going to go sit and have someone run ink on me for fucking 4 to 8 hours.
Well, yeah, and then the healing time because we touch skin in our profession, so you don't want to touch someone when you have an open wound,
right?
You know,
especially
so it's not even just getting it. Yeah, it's like you know,
you're
it's the time off after.
Because what does it average?
Probably like. I mean, everyone's different, but I mean, you could go, obviously, if you had a regular job, you'd cover it up, you know.
Right, but people that have to go get naked.
People that have to get naked and fuck someone and be sweaty and grind on top of someone, you know. I'd say
probably
give it at least
a month.
10 days. No, you don't need a month.
You don't think a month
a
before
week?
All the scabbing?
No, you're fine. A week would be enough time.
Just let it heal
yeah.
up. But that's still
Dr. Joanna says,
God damn it.
You're fine in a week.
Just go do it.
I'm not a medical professional.
But if she were.
But I have tattoos and definitely fucked someone way less than a week.
That's funny. It's like my dad told me that right after I was born, and you got to remember this is in the 70s, early 70s.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
And he went to the doctor after I was born, and he asked the doctor, because my dad's a pervert. I love him, but he's a dirty old man.
I can see where it came from.
And apple clearly doesn't fall far from the tree. And he asked the doctor, he was like, so how soon can we have sex? And he claims that the doctor looked at him and said, well, it depends on how private your room is. And I'm like, I don't know if it's true or not, but I love the story. Because I'm like, and the bad thing is it probably went down like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Let's see, is that all the questions that I have? I think that's kind of it. I kind of didn't want to like go too crazy, and because every time I try and be super question oriented, I'm like it seems more like a like tell me more where it's we can't free talk as much. Sorry, that was my phone. That was really
click
loud. The pink hair thing, that was a thing.
Yeah, I had pink hair for a very long time.
I think I knew more about the pink hair.
That was the pink, you know,
than the tattoos.
It was like grown up Joanna Angel.
Because so you didn't start with the pink streaks.
No, I didn't start with pink. Yeah. I felt like pink was when I like became Joanna Angel.
It was the transition.
I feel like, it's like that was my like superhero costume.
There you go.
It's like once I dyed my hair pink, I was like, I understand now. I figured out what I'm doing here.
So that was like your, as you were talking about earlier, your elementary, middle.
Yeah. I think that's when I went to high school.
Okay.
It was pink hair.
That's when you were getting there.
That's when I was like, I got this. Right. This is who Joanna Angel is. Joanna Angel is born.
I'm here, motherfuckers. So can we talk about your love, your partner?
My partner, sure.
Because I don't know him super well. I've only been on set with him and like once.
Oh, were you on set with him?
There was a gangbang at Kink. Mm-hmm. And
did a lot of those.
The gangbang. Mm-hmm. And the gangbang, the girl wanted to act like there was a hogtied shoot going on.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
And then my crew gangbanged her when I was hold on a second.
Okay, so you were like part of the plot.
Yeah, I was part of the plot, and then I had nothing else going on that day. So
right,
so
you stayed.
Well, I mean, why not? I could just sit around and watch some girl get fucking gangbanged in person.
It's better
than most of you motherfuckers watching online.
You were there for the gangbang.
I watched the whole gangbang.
Yeah.
Which was great. Mm-hmm. But like, for starters, you two are an amazing couple. Like, you two, I think, compliment, like, looking at each other and what I've seen, like, creativeness. Like, you two seem to, like, really kind of inspire and help. Like, motivate each other.
He really is. I mean, I know some people say it, but, like, I'm sure you feel the same way about your partner. I mean, he is, like, he really is my other half. You know, like, if we are away from each other, I feel like a part of me is missing, you know? And he is, like, my best friend. You know, and
are you guys still really gross when you're like out in public? Like you still are all handsy and touchy and lovey.
No, I think we've gone into like old married couple land where we're just like, oh my God, do you taste how fresh this salmon is?
I love that though. I love that. That's pretty awesome.
And then we like sit there for an hour and talk about what the dogs might be doing at home at that very moment, you know, or like.
So what is a night like in the Angel House? Like what is an average night?
An average night these days. Cause there was a while where, you know, when he was still doing the editing and stuff, where a lot of times he'd be editing and I'd be cooking dinner and then we'd be like, oh, let me look at this, let me look at that. But yeah, now these days, if we're both home at night, we talk about we'll start texting each other, like whoever's like, you know, at work or on their way home, we'll start texting each other and we always say, what do you want to do for dinner? And we actually have I don't know why we always spell dinner like deener, like D-E-E-N-E-R. What do you want to do for deener? I don't know why.
So it's like a southern
accent. Someone will
almost
text the other one, yeah. And then I'll be like, the one person will be like, I don't know. Should we go to the store or should we go out? You know, and then we will discuss this topic and then we'll decide what it is. You know, most often we go to the store, but sometimes we decide to go out.
So you're so much better than me. We're like, oh, you're in the mood for, then let's go. Like,
yeah. Going out to eat is fun. It is. But I don't know. We cook some food. We play with the dogs. We watch something on Netflix. And I don't know. We kiss each other and hold each other and go to bed pretty early.
So you're like the rest of the world.
We are like the rest of the world. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and if we, you know, if he has to work the next day, he'll go to bed really early. If we don't have to work the next day, sometimes we'll get wild, maybe have like a bottle of wine.
Ooh, risky. You
know? Yeah. Maybe we'll go see a movie.
Ooh, a rated R movie.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we go to, you know, we go to shows. We both always had a passion for music. We like a lot of the same music. Then there's some stuff that he likes that I don't really like. And right. But we have a lot of like bands that we both like. I mean, on our first date, we connected on like a lot of the music that we liked. There's actually a band, Rocket from the Crypt. Were you a fan of them growing up? I don't know. And yeah, they weren't a very big band, but they were like a very culty, like the people who liked them, like really liked right. them. And I actually, it was like a thing with the band. If you had and this is a thing from so long ago, probably 15 years ago. Like if you had a Rocket from the Crypt tattoo, they would let you skip the line and go into any of their shows for free. It Holy was like shit. Their thing. I mean, there was probably like 8 people in the world that had one, so it wasn't really a big.
It's still cool. Still.
Okay, maybe there was like 30
right.
at that time, but like, you know, and I was from the East Coast, you know, and he was from the West Coast, and Rocket from the Crypt actually was a West Coast band. And I remember on like our first date, I was like, he like lifted up his leg or something, and I saw he had a Rocket from the Crypt tattoo. Oh, I was shit. Like, oh, you had the tattoo, you got to go into the shows free, and you could tell. I knew from that moment. I had him. He was so impressed.
He was like, I'm taking this one home.
You could tell he was like, oh, you knew about that? I was like, oh, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Did you guys know pretty early that like that was you guys? Because I was that way with mine. Like we were friends yeah. and hanging out. Then suddenly one day it was like, oh, this is right. All it's been under our nose the whole time.
Well, you know, so it started off. I was actually, he had his own like graphic design like printing company, and I was actually his client. I ordered t-shirts from him. He made like Burning Angel t-shirts and stuff.
Oh, shit.
yeah and I literally didn't even know like what he looked like. I didn't know anything, you know, because I would just order the t-shirts and
right.
say a few funny things in an email, and they would get shipped. And I don't know. And then I remember I was like dating a couple people and I was single. And then we the same guy who had hooked me up with him as a graphic, as a t-shirt person. I don't know. I just remember venting to him.
Right.
And being like, oh, these guys that I'm dating really suck. You know, like it was a weird thing to be, you know, 30 at that time. And like, I'm like, I've been in porn for like a long time now. And like every guy I go on a date with is like,
shithead.
Yeah. I don't know. I just remember kind of bitching about usual, you know,
right.
stuff. We are human beings after all, you know? Yeah. And then he was like, you know, I think you'd be really good with Aaron, the guy that I hooked you up with that makes your shirts. And I was like, what? Really? And he was like, yeah. He's like, do you even know what he looks like? I'm like, no, why would I ever look up like what the guy looks like that just like
that prints makes my t-shirts?
And then, you know, he actually showed me one picture. It's so funny because Aaron knows that this all happened. He showed me one picture and it was this picture of him like laying on a couch with like an acoustic guitar next to him. And I was like, oh, he looks like a douchebag. I was like, I hate acoustic guitars. And then he was like, okay, wait, how about this? And then he showed me another picture where he looked like he was wearing like a muscle, you know, like a tank top,
right.
you know, whatever. And I was like, okay, he looks really hot there. So then after that, yeah, I was like, let's get the acoustic guitar out of the way.
Yeah. That's funny.
I think my exact words were, he looks like an emo douchebag. But yeah. And then, so after that, because, you know, I had probably ordered new t-shirts once every, I don't know, month, couple right. weeks. So I just like, I was like, okay, well, how do I start flirting with this person that I don't know at all, that only right. knows me from like orders, you know? So like I saw his like G chat name on the bottom of one of the messages, and I don't know, I just started messaging him on GChat, and I made up questions about the t-shirts that I didn't really care about, like, oh, like, if I change my order from 36 to 72 shirts, like, what would the pricing be?
You know, just to get him to talk?
Yeah, then, you know, so he answered the questions, and then I just started to be like, so, how's your day going? And, like, and then like, you know, I would start putting smiley faces and, like, you know, whatever, and then he told me, like, once we kind of went through this, you know, like he told me from the other end, he like was asking the other guys in the warehouse and stuff, like, you know, and that worked at the printing company. He's like, right. I know this is going to sound crazy, guys, but I think Joanna Angel is flirting with me. Cause he knew who I was, right. You know, and he was always like, you know, just treated me like any other customer.
Right. Right.
And then I guess all the other guys were like looking at the conversation. They're like, we think she's flirting with you. And then it went from being subtle to like, way more obvious, right. You know, just like, what are you doing this weekend? And he's like, what?
Now, is he as shy as he seems? Because he seems like he's kind of a shyer person.
He's, you know, he's not shy, but he's a real gentleman. And I think also, you know, he knew like the way most people talk to me, and he didn't want to be one of those people,
right.
You know?
He didn't want to be the douche that you thought he was with the acoustic.
Yeah. And so at a certain point, I said, I was trying to find like a way to ask him to hang out without being too weird. I mean, he did also live 3 hours away, so it wasn't like, what are you doing tonight? You know what I mean?
I'm coming over.
Yeah. So I remember it was the 4th of July, and I was like, well, my friend is having a 4th of July party. Why don't you, and if any of your friends want to come too, you know, there'll be like a bunch of, you know, porn girls there. Like, right. I'll be there. It'll be fun, you know, like blah, blah, blah. I felt like that was a good generic.
Right.
Invitation. And he was like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to come and I'll bring a couple of my friends. And then that day we kept like texting each other, and he got like too drunk and he passed out at some point in the day. And I got really mad. I was like, fuck this guy. Cause I planned out such a cute 4th of July outfit. And I was like telling my friends like, oh, this is good. I've been like talking to you on the internet for a while, and he's going to be here in like an hour, you know,
right.
2 hours, 3 hours, you know. And then I was like, and I was so mad.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. And so the next day he messaged me in like the morning. He was like, I'm so sorry. You know, he's like, wound up getting really drunk early in the day. What are you doing today? Do you want to get lunch? And then I was like, yeah, come over. And he came over and we went out to brunch lunch. Like, and, he was mine after that, whether he liked it or not.
Coming home with me, boy.
Yeah. And I actually remember thinking on our very first date, because we were talking. I mean, hours had gone by at the restaurant, you know, where it went from breakfast to lunch to like early dinner, you know, like, and there was like another drink. Do you guys need anything else? Like, we were like talking about everything, you know? And I just remember thinking to myself, this guy is so perfect. He's like the most perfect human.
Right.
And that must mean one thing. That must mean he has a small dick. No one can be this perfect. There has to be something wrong with him.
Right.
You know? And so he was like, oh, you know, like I should get going. Like, I should go home. It was really great having lunch with you, because he was trying to be a gentleman. I was like, why don't you come over? You know, because we were at a restaurant up the street. Right. But just come over. Just chill out for a bit while the traffic dies down. Blah, 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 blah. Right. You know? And then he came over, and literally I sucked his dick within 5 seconds of him getting to the door, acting like I was really horny, but it was really more of,
I needed to know.
Right. I was like, I can't let this go past, right? You know, I need to know right now,
right.
Because if this guy has a big dick, like, he has to marry me. He has no choice.
You're like, if his dick is the way it's supposed to be, he's mine.
Like, yeah, and it didn't have to be huge, but, you know, big enough for me.
Right.
It's the important part of marriage.
Right.
You know.
You have to be satisfied. Like we were talking about earlier, when people come to you and they're like, hey, how can I make my wife want a threesome?
Yeah.
You can't. It's either there or it's not.
And, you know, and then, yeah, the rest is history.
That's just fucking sweet. That's
I know. Yeah, we really do love each other. Yeah, so I mean, you know, and then I got him into porn, like, 2 or 3 years later. So we did have the beginning of our relationship where I was in porn and he wasn't. And it's kind of funny because now he's like the dude in porn. He's like, you know, one of the top dudes.
Right.
And I sometimes feel like I'm the civilian in the relationship now, because I do what, you know, four maybe five scenes a month. I don't perform that much, right. You know, and he's performing every day. So a lot of times it's like, I feel like I'm the not porn person in the relationship now, and he's the porn person.
You're
you
the
know?
Stay-at-home partner. Yeah. Wait here while you're fucking someone else.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Well, like, I guess you did this the first few years, so I get it.
How was that navigating that when you guys first started before he got into the industry? How was it just kind of like a, because I've talked to other people about like having working one yeah, working
you,
and one
you
not.
Know it's tough because and so I understand, you know, all ends of it. I mean, and as a woman in the industry, it's like for in a partner, if the partner like loves it, it's weird, you know, if they're right. Like jerking off to it, thinking about, you know what I mean. Well, I wouldn't say weird. I'm not going to kink shame anyone,
right?
But it's a different type of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if they hate it, it's obviously not going to work. Like right. You have to somehow figure out how to just get it to the level of like, it's my job and I love my job.
Right.
You know, I have good days, I have bad days, but at the end of the day, it's my job and I like my job. And a good day at work doesn't mean I feel any, you know what I mean?
That's
a
very, very,
that makes sense to someone in porn, but does, and there's nothing you can compare it to, because actually, before him, I was dating someone else. And it was the first time I was in porn dating someone out of porn. And I was like, well, yeah, if you want to like fuck someone, it's cool.
Right.
Because I do scenes and that'll make it even. And then the first time it actually happened, I was like, wait, no, this is not cool, because you going off, even if you have a one night stand with someone, like it's like this uncontrolled environment. Like right. I go to work, I know exactly what's going to happen. I know when it's going to end. Both people there are getting paid. The other person there is also going to work.
Right.
You know, like you are going somewhere. And even if you and whoever you had sex with have no mental connection, like you had a connection. You didn't have to have sex that day. Like
right.
Something made you guys, something magical in the air made you guys have sex. And that is a thing.
It wasn't an assignment.
That offended me. Yeah, that right. is a thing that I don't want to share with a, you know, I guess I really, that was my test. I was like, I can't be in like an open relationship.
Like a poly thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, this is like, you know, like not knowing when it might happen, you know, and then it was a thing with like, he ever wasn't around. I'm like, he could be fucking someone else and sleeping next to them and
right.
eating breakfast with them. And like, I'm just not okay with that. Like there's
having
nothing.
Having the conversations you should be having with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, there is. So then by the time I met Aaron, I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to go to work and fuck people and you can't fuck anyone right. unless we have a threesome or something,
right.
you know,
if I bring the
someone
work home,
yeah, which I did
right.
many times. So, you know, and I'm like, and that is a difficult thing for someone to process, you
right.
know, and I'm not going to, I can't lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say he was totally fine with it from day one. You know, it took like a lot of conversations. You know, I remember
right.
the first time that, you know, cause I, you know, the first time that it happened where I was doing a scene, the day I was with him, like, you know, we had a lot of conversations that day and, you know, it took a little while. But we loved each other like so much. And we always knew that. We always knew like, you know, he knew and I knew that like we wanted this to work. So we were willing
right.
to kind of do anything to make it work. And I was willing to make whatever sacrifices I needed to make, you know, whether that meant calling him at this time before the, or not calling it, whatever it was, whatever,
right.
whatever arrangement we had made on the days when I was working and whatever he needed, you know, we just really paid attention to each other's needs,
right.
you know, which I think you have to do in any relationship,
exactly.
you know, and it probably wasn't much different than people who make a long distance relationship work or people who make a relationship work where somebody works during the day and somebody works at night. And,
right.
You know, when you have lives that don't exactly connect, you, if you love each other, you figure out how to make it work.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's even with like polyamorous relationships. Like I know someone back from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I know several people that are like this. I know people.
I feel like everyone in San Francisco is polyamorous.
Most of them, right?
If you're just like in a heterosexual monogamous relationship, I don't think you can live in San Francisco.
No.
I don't think you're allowed to.
Yeah. There's a rule somewhere in the rule books, but there was a friend of mine from Kink, and he, everyone's, oh, we're poly, right. but there's always problems that come along with it. And it's the same thing as even though they're poly and he has a girlfriend and she has a boyfriend and then they both have playmates. And so one, it seems like a lot of work to have to maintain.
It does seem like, when do you have time for a job? I'd like to know how.
And they were both very professional people.
Right.
But it works.
I know people make it work.
You know? But the thing is, there's still rules.
It does sound time consuming.
It's time consuming, and there's a lot of rules because it's like, okay, the two of you are in a relationship, and you decide you're going to be poly. You have to lay out every single law.
I know.
And it's the same because it's not, because if you break the law, you're cheating. It doesn't matter that it's okay to fuck. So it seems, I commend anyone that can do this successfully and be happy.
Yeah.
But it is, it's like, it's the same thing with me. Like my wife, she knew what I did, and she for the longest time had she called her bubble, and her husband went to work. He tied up pretty girls. He untied them. He came home and that was it. She knew because she would sit at the bar when all the guys are like, tell me about the girls. You know?
Right.
So she knew, but we just didn't talk about it. So we talked about the politics and all the crap that goes on, the boring stuff that I tell people, you know. And then she started working with me. And she was like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to be in the same building and hear these things.
Right. And that's understandable.
And suddenly it went from we don't talk about it to like she's bringing up trailers and showing models. She's like, oh, look when JP did this. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with you watching my porn. So it's completely backflipped now.
Yeah, you know.
But it's weird. It is. It's a weird thing.
Someone.
I know.
I understand. I feel like I did the same thing.
I was gonna say, as long as I've been doing this, I think I've corrupted a lot of people.
It's, you know, you did them a favor.
Exactly.
It's an honor to be corrupted by you. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm gonna make a sound bite out of that shit. So you said that you corrupted him. Did what was the thing that was like, all right. Was it you that said, I think you should start doing porn, or did he say, I think I want to try?
No, it was never him. Never. Okay. Had this situation been reversed, when I tell the story, I think if I was a man and he was a woman, it'd be a total pimp sex trafficking situation.
Oh, no.
But since it's a guy, really, no one is going to feel bad for him that he now has to fuck a bunch of hot girls all the time.
Oh, you poor motherfucker. Yeah. You get to fuck porn stars.
But I swear if the situation was reversed, people would, you know,
they'd be
what
like,
I mean?
Pull your ear if you're okay.
Yeah. Not fair. I was producing, you know, directing a lot of my own stuff at that time, and it actually started with, I remember, on my website, you know, I had burningangel.com, and then over time I made a joannaangel.com. That was like the pre-OnlyFans.
Right.
Girls used to have websites.
When it was so affordable to have your own website.
Yeah, and like, you know, OnlyFans and all these things, there was like a lot of clips, you know, just blowjob clips, solo clips, this and that, you know, and it got updated a few times a week, you know, on like a schedule. And I remember me and him were actually going on a trip, I handed in a bunch of my content to my webmaster, and something happened, and the footage got corrupted.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and I just so happened to have like a little handy cam on that trip, and I was like, Aaron, just let me like suck your dick. It's okay.
Just hold this.
No one's gonna. Yeah, pretty much. And he had no choice. Literally, no choice. He's like, oh, okay. Like literally, I'm like, just lay there and hold this. That's pretty much how his porn career started. And that's then it was awesome. Like, oh, you know, I put that video up and people really liked it. Why don't you lay there and hold this again?
Right.
And now, why don't you lay there? You know what? I'm shooting a pretty big movie. So there was actually a year where he only did stuff with me.
Right.
And I was still working with other people too, but you know, so he did stuff with me. And then at a certain point I started adding in like other girls in the scene.
Right.
And you know, I started getting pretty good at it. And then every time a scene like that went on my website, and then a lot of times, you know, when I was booking girls, I'm like, who do you want to work with? And then they would like look through the guys like that I hired on the website, and they were constantly like asking for him. I'm like, well, he's like not.
He's not available today.
He's not available, you know. he's like porn star-ish. He's not really a porn star, you know. And then, yeah, it was kind of getting to the point where all of his friends were like, he's in porn now, you know. And then, you know, I think it was like, I think you should just, you know. And then without even me asking or telling, you know, so I had done like a boy-girl-girl scene for a certain movie. And he really killed it in that scene. I remember the camera guy, Quasar, my camera guy. Okay. The camera guy forever. He was like, Joanna, your boyfriend's getting really good at this. You know, I was like, yeah. And I was like, well, you know, had to get tested for the scene. You know, we just did it yesterday. So if you need, if you get any cancellations or anything, you need him for anything, let me know. He was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, not telling him at all.
So he had no idea.
I had
you
this conversation. And then the next day, Mike called me and he's like, I am shooting a hand job scene and it got a cancellation. Were you really serious about this? I was like, yep, hang up the phone. Aaron, you got to go to this address. No joke. I'm guilty. I sex trafficked him into porn. I gave him no choice.
Well, it was consensual-ish. Yeah.
And guess what? He went and did it. And then, you know, that happened again a few days later. And it right. happened again a few days later. And I don't know, before we knew it, star was born.
Exactly. Because he just did. He was male performer of the year
for XBiz, a few years ago,
which is crazy because
I think,
and he had been in the business what 3 years,
not very long.
That's impressive,
No, he's done, you know, really, really good job,
maybe too good. So, let me ask you this about Quasar, not to
my other husband,
husband, so I have never met him in person. I have had people who know him well and know me well, and they're like, I don't know that the universe would work right if Quasar and I got in the same room. They say he's a little more cynical than I am, but like his...
It's a different kind of cynical.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a different kind of cynical.
But I've heard so much about
imagine
this
Imagine if you...
were Canadian and more mad.
filmed about, like, you know... filmed about 4 porn scenes a day, every day for the last 20 years, you know, like you actually get to like put your, you know,
my
your
stamp
hands.
On them.
Yeah. You're like doing things you're passionate about on everyone you work with, you know, and you're working for yourself, you know, and you like get to have this like connection with everyone you hire. You know, Mike is holding a camera and watching a dick go in a pussy inside a girl on a different couch every day. And you know, in this game, a lot of times that said guy or said girl won't show up and that has to be replaced with another girl, you know.
Right.
And he's been doing this. He's probably done it more than I'm going to just go out. He's probably shot more scenes than anyone in the world, I think. Like shot, you know. So imagine, it's a different kind of
take away
of
my interaction that I got to, the stress reliever.
You get to put your, you know,
I get to do the things that he doesn't get to do.
Yes. And, you know, and just the frustration of filming porn in general. And, you know, he also has gone from.
I know that all too well.
The heyday of porn where he was getting giant budgets, you know, shooting in glamorous places and shooting, you know, one scene a day, maybe 2 at the most, you know, where it's like he's kind of been through the ringer, or now, you know, and he's now has to do like a lot more for a lot less money, you know.
Yeah, like unfortunately most of us, it's like, well, I'm doing more money, I'm doing more work and I'm making less money doing it.
Yeah nobody's happy in that situation. No matter what you're doing,
but he is, you know. So fucking funny.
Yeah, that's the thing. When he's grumpy, it's funny. Yeah. You know, like it's not like a we're always laughing on set, you know. Always, you know, we have a really good time. And honestly, he doesn't let a lot of people understand this, but he's actually like the most talented person I know.
Right.
He is, and it's so funny. Like, I remember a couple of years ago when I shot, like, a pretty big movie, there was, like, a really cool, like, music video sequence in the movie, you know, and I remember this was, you know, and then I posted it on Instagram, and I posted it on Twitter, and people were like, who shot this? And I was like, Quasar, he shoots everything I do. And the response from everyone was, really? Question mark. Like, I'm like, do you guys actually know that he's talented?
I think it's because he comes across so
grumpy. And he's so self-hating, you know. But I am too, you know, so I think it works really well.
I think
well.
After like, we've been like, doing this long, most of us get to a point where we're...
Yeah, but I've always been like that too. I've always been like a self-deprecating, like I'm Jewish, it's part of my blood, you know, like we don't brag. We're like very like, you know, we always think we could be doing better, you know what I mean? But
I'm that way though. I think that's you. I think it's if you take yourself too fucking seriously. It makes people smile, and it's easier when you have as a director role or as this power role or whatever you like. If you're sitting there fucking making fun of yourself and self-deprecating, people are like, okay, this guy's chill. Like, I don't have to be like, oh, because at me, I'm 6'4", I'm 200 plus, I'm a big motherfucker, and I don't make myself look nice. I don't make myself look approachable. My wife has told me this over the years. So I figure if I'm goofy and I act silly and I make fun of myself, then people are like, oh, he is approachable. I mean,
and it's just, it's who you are, you know? It really is like genuinely part of who you are,
right?
You know? But, I love Quasar. He's my best friend, you know?
I love that.
He's so talented. I know he forgets to tell the world that.
I think it seems like he forgets it, or either he puts it in his back pocket and says, well, I don't want to talk about it.
I've seen it many, many times on set. We're doing something and he gets really excited and inspired. It happens. Right. It happens, you know? Yeah. When no one's related.
Yeah, take away the fucking part. Take away the incest.
If it's a lesbian porn, he really loves shooting lesbian porn. Okay. It's like his, like, you know, so when he gets to shoot a lesbian scene where nobody's related, or just, you know, there's been a lot of times over the years where he just gets, like, very excited. I think he actually gets much happier when he's shooting something for other people than when he has to shoot his own stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which I think is like that for anyone. These days, I like performing for other people more than I like performing on my own set, because you just have to come and think about performing.
You and you have someone telling you, things. You're going to do this and you're going to do that.
Yeah, and you have somebody at the end of the day going, good job.
You did good, and here's your check.
Yeah, yeah, you're not just like, how much footage do we have? Is that enough? Okay, like, anyway.
So do you think that...
Do I think that both of you could be...
Do you think that I could sit Quasar? Better yet, do you think Quasar would come and sit in this chair and let me talk to him?
Do you think so? He loves doing podcasts.
Does he?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, but I'm if I sit down with him, like
you,
I need
you
know, to.
Yeah, I guess you should.
We need to have a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
Is he a whiskey guy or a vodka guy? He's just a drink guy.
He's an alcohol guy.
I love it.
I think it depends on the day.
That's one of the things. It's like, because Derek Pierce is a buddy of mine, and he works with him a lot, and he was the same. He was the one who was like, he's like, you two need to fucking meet. He was like, you two love to drink. You two are drummers.
Yeah.
You two have all of
this. Oh, I didn't know you were a drummer, too. Yeah,
I played drums semi-professionally, meaning I was in a band regularly and was making enough to pay some bills for like 11 years.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when I signed, and Facebook has been telling me that his real name, like it keeps showing this, him doing the drums. And it's been suggesting him as a friend for years. But I haven't met him in person, so I can't do the Facebook move yet.
It's meant to be. It's meant to be. Yeah.
But Derek was like, he's like, you guys need to, next time, AVN
just,
or something.
We'll just put you in a room.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to AVN. So we'll have to
There's a lot of people that are going to AVN this year. I've heard that there's...
Well, I mean, and it's not out of protest or anything. I know his mom has been sick, and he figured he'd use that time.
Right.
He gets 0 days off.
Yeah. And he also makes that public. Like, he seems to, like, that's another thing I feel like he pretty much is like, this is what's going on in my life, and you guys can eat a dick if you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, this is why somebody I need in my life.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are some people that are, I don't know if you've heard about this, that are protesting. There's rumor of a few bigger brands that are protesting.
Protesting? Well, does it mean protesting if you're not getting a booth? No,
well, it's more of a we're not going to give you our money because of I'm not getting a booth, so I don't know. But the politics, apparently, that the prices are getting outrageous, and two bigger names have been like, you know, no, I'm not doing it. Like, if you pull me out of the equation, I bring enough to the table that this is going to hurt you a little bit,
right?
And I don't know if
this is I got no problems. You know,
not yet. Yeah. By no means am I sitting here stirring the pot, but I've heard that there's a couple.
Look, it's a different era, you know. Booths at trade shows used to be an integral part of certain people's business plans, and now people, it's just like companies used to always, no matter what, get Super Bowl commercials, and now they're just putting that money into social media, and don't know, you know,
it's
just
changing, man.
Things are changing, so it's not just, you know, I wouldn't just call it some kind of protest, but, you know, I think that things like that are happening with lots of companies and lots of industries, you know. There's just certain big expenses that some companies just pay every year because it's sort of part of running a business, but now those expenses have changed.
They need to be put somewhere else.
Yeah, Yeah. But, you know, I think some people will leave and then other people will take their place.
Right.
I don't know. You know, but also I think what other people don't realize too, like the AVN, the AEE Expo and the AVN Awards, I mean, they're kind of like two separate entities.
Right.
I mean, granted, it's all under the same umbrella, you know, but right. like I'm sure the if, you know, people don't go to the convention, they can still go to the award show,
right.
you know. Like, I'm guessing you'll be at the award show, even though you don't have a booth.
I'm not going to have a booth. And I'm, well, that's the thing. I'm actually in a battle right now because I've got a good friend of mine who moved out of the country several years ago. And he's coming back from, he's been in Vietnam for like the last 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And he's this badass sushi chef. And he's coming back and he's only going to be here for like the AVN. Well, the only time I can go see him in LA, because he's going to be in LA, is over the weekend of AVN. Because I got the kid who's in school.
Bring him to AVN.
He's back for like 4 days from Vietnam. So he's trying to see everybody possible.
Think, you know, I think going to AVN would be great for him.
I think it would be
better
too.
Thing to do, you know?
I know. But then all of my LA friends, they're going to probably, any of them that are listening, would be like, don't you listen to her, JP. She's bad. Because, so, but that's the thing is like, so I'm torn. Like, because I do have like nine.
Hey, it's a 1 hour flight from LA. Go hang out with him.
That's what I thought.
Get on a plane, come to the award show. Go right back.
That's kind of what I thought. I've actually thought about like hopping on a plane Friday night, flying into LA, hanging out as much as I can Saturday and hopping on a plane. Because I don't want to go to AVN because we all know going to AVN doesn't mean get up early on Sunday morning. That's just not going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of torn. But I'm there is, you know, there's that weight of like, well, there's AVN and a lot of nominations and it sure as fuck would be cool to be there.
You got to do it. You have to do it. You made a big movie this year.
And that's the thing, too. It's like, this isn't just any year. This
it's
is
against mine. Dun, dun, dun.
As I hit my mic, yeah. I know. That's the thing, too. Just like, you and I can sit there and just smile at each other and until the winner's announced, and then we're going to be like, fuck you, congratulations. So proud of you, fucker.
Well, if I lose, I hope I lose to you.
And I agree with that 100%. If I'm going to lose to someone, I'd rather it be you.
But I want to win!
There's some stiff competition. Like, I picked a bad year to make this movie. Because it's not like...
It's a competitive category, too.
Yeah.
You know?
And that was the thing that we talked about in the green room. Like, I'm not the... I didn't show up in the BDSM field this time. Like, I'm in the...
That must be very exciting for you.
It's huge. Yeah. It's a big thing for me because it's like, it's the... 15 years doesn't count as an I've never been nominated as best director. I got nominated once for the first movie for best web director. And I'm like... This isn't fair just because I don't make DVDs all year. But there's people that I've seen that showed up on the scene.
I've been nominated for Best Web Director before, and I was always like, I'm so confused. You know, I make like DVDs. But then I was like happy because I was like, oh, well, I might be able to win this category. So I'd rather just stay.
Right.
Just keep me. And then 1 year they moved me from Web Director to Director of the Year. I'm like, I wish you guys would have just kept me there because... I'm not going to win this other one.
I was running that one. And now
I knew eventually I could have won that one.
Right.
At some point. But now I'm never going to win the other one.
And that's why I look at it. It's like I'm stoked that I got moved up in rank, so to speak. But at the same time, now I'm looking around and I've got like Joanna Angel and I've got all these names in the same category. And I'm like... They've all been doing
this.
You want
to go back to web director, yeah, don't like, you?
Can I,
yeah, take
can
me
I just
back.
Have BDSM
take
again.
Take me back.
Please?
Yeah.
I'm competing. Like, there's.
Yeah, you know, you got to compete with the big guys.
And that was the thing.
And
like
lose.
Exactly. A lot.
Oh, yeah.
You have to lose a lot. And
I'll show you. I'll show you the ways.
I'm going to hold you to that. But it is. It's like you want it and you aim for it and you crave it and you're like, this is mine. This is my goal. And then as soon as you get it, you're like, I don't want it anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was bullshitting.
Actually,
I want to go back.
Every year at the award show, I get really stressed about winning and really stressed about losing. I'm like, well, if I win something, what am I going to say? And what if I don't thank all the people? And what if this, you know? And then if I lose, I'm bummed too. You know, so it's, I almost just have like a knot in my stomach.
Yeah. I told Disco, I was like, that I'm getting him a ticket this year to go to the awards thing. Because I was like, if I get pulled into the... Holy shit, JP's gonna get called up on stage. I'm like, you gotta come with me. But of course, I've been telling him that story since before I made the movie. He's like, you haven't even made the movie yet. And I was like, but when we make it and we get the nominations and then they call us on stage, you have to come with me. He was like, what do you want me to do? I was like,
did he shoot the movie?
Oh, yeah, he's.
Oh, well, then when you win a movie category,
I need my crew.
You need the crew's gonna come on stage, yeah.
And I don't think any other crew's gonna be there, but he's gonna be.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to come on stage. And he was like, I was like, you are coming up on. I was like, I'm going to be too nervous. I'll just whisper. I'll be like, okay, now tell them this. People are going to start wondering if I even know how to speak anymore. Or Chris will be like, or Disco will be my translator.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that'll be a good problem to have.
You know, exactly.
That'll be a great problem to have. Wouldn't it be great to stress about that problem?
Yeah. And just thinking about it, I'm like, I'm uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
But it is. It's in good company. So I say unfortunately because of my friend, I want to, but I think that's a good thing. Like what you said, I'm going to have to show up at AVN because there's also that you win and people come running out of everywhere. It's not the people that are sitting next to you and all the people that stand in front of you and clap when you win. It's those handful of people that come running up and like, oh my God, you did it. You did it.
Yeah.
That was because when I got mine, they just showed it up on the screen. It was in between.
Yeah.
Because it was just the BDSM.
Yeah, but look, those ones on the screen, there's no law that some are more important than
others.
It's just more what I think, you know, I've hosted the AVN Awards before, so I know a little more about the way it's run. I mean, it's just what's going to be most exciting on stage, you know?
Right.
I want to have the girls on stage. And I know,
exactly.
I'm like a girl, but I'm not, you know, like, because I'm usually nominated for a lot of the director categories. You know, they want more performers, less directors. And
they want
as much
flesh. Of course,
people watching it on Showtime, do they really want to see directors come on stage? Like, blah, 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 blah,
I don't
blah,
care
blah,
how
blah,
handsome blah, blah. Jules is or fucking Lansky. They're like, okay, shut up and bring the girls back
the
out.
Girl? Yeah, so, you know, so the director categories, there's very few of them announced on stage.
Right.
From what I know, I mean, they could change it any year, you know.
Well, the last time I went was 2 years ago, and it was still, or maybe three, two. I don't go that often because I have no need to. But apparently I do now. But I was kind of stoked. I was like, oh, I get to sit here and I get the same award. Just my plaque says something different, but like I still get the same fucking award. I don't have to go up there. I'll take that all day.
I think I've won a lot. Awards at this point in my life, and most of them have been not on stage.
I'll take them.
Yeah,
I prefer it that way because that way I don't like if I were to God at any point if they were to say, "Hey JP, you are up in the director of the year," and maybe even possibly tell me you've won this, I'll be like, "Can you just put it on the screen?" I'll thank everybody
on
Twitter.
You get an option. Would you like to go on stage?
Yeah, and all of a sudden your phone buzzes like, boop, put it on the screen. But so that was the fun part. That was the part that it was probably the most fulfilling for me, was sitting there and having the people right next to me scream when this thing showed up and having the handful of people run over and give me a hug. So that I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss that part. So I'll just hop on a plane Friday night and go see my friend and come back Saturday.
Yeah.
Do a 24-hour run. Go have lunch.
That's what airplanes are for. That's what Southwest is there for.
It's true. Now I'm like,
speaking of which,
I gotta start booking.
I guess I should head over to the said airport at some point.
I was gonna say, let me double check and make sure because we definitely.
Oh, good. I think my flight actually got super delayed.
Oh fuck! Really?
Yeah, that's okay.
That sucks.
Okay.
Well, that might be even a better excuse for you to get there early because when it's delayed, you know
what
they don't
do?
They don't charge.
They don't charge. I know.
So
the airport game.
Let's do that then because I've enjoyed the hell out of this, but
this has been fun. I forgot we were publicly speaking.
I know.
Did we offend anyone?
You looked up and you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Take your headphones off. I think you actually did well. I think that, I usually go through what I usually do is, so anybody that's listening can know this too. I go through and if anything's even mildly questionable, I text and say, hey, there's this part.
Oh, whatever. I don't, yeah.
Well, like I said, you're a very sweet woman and you're very like PC where I've been inspired to not be so much. And I love, like we were talking earlier, like with Phoenix. Phoenix came on here and Phoenix has got some opinions and there's a couple times.
But she's happy to share them.
Oh, yeah. And that was the thing. She'd be like, opinion, opinion, opinion. Mm-hmm. And she looks right at the camera. She's like, and I don't give a fuck if you don't like that. And I'm like, when did you get so feisty, Phoenix? she got mad. So anyway, what I like to do is, before we wrap up, is I try and do an advice thing. And I'm slowly gathering the whatever advice. Words of wisdom. So this is a kind of a...
Oh, it was my phone. I'm that asshole.
Okay. Oh, that's all right. It's just sound effects.
Yeah.
Bing. So it's kind of, it's not the be-all place to go. But you know, as you know, coming into the industry, there's no book. To this day, there's no school. There's no class.
Nope.
There's no YouTube channel. So if there was any place, I was like, because I'm trying to do this for our community and our industry. So I'm having the guests say, if there's anything you could do, what advice would you give someone coming into the industry? Put you on the spot.
I know. Keep your life, your friends, and your hobbies outside of porn, even when you get into porn. I think it's very important.
Right.
I, to this day, I make sure, because, you know, I get so swept up in things, it's easy for your whole life to just be porn. I always make sure to go see shows, even if it's just going to the movies, to stay in touch with my friends from college or whatever, even if it's like awkward sometimes because I don't really have much in common with them and
right.
really not normal things are normal to me. Like keep one leg, one arm outside of the porn universe.
Right.
Because even though this will start to seem like it's your whole world, it's not the whole world. And like save a part of yourself for that's not work.
Right.
Don't lose yourself, which is very easy to do. And I've lost myself at certain times, you know. I'd say
it keeps
figure out what your loves and your hobbies and your passions are that have nothing to do with Instagram or Twitter or making money or being famous or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, find a few things and make sure no matter what happens, you still do those things. Whether it's once a week, once a month, like find time that's just all about you and yourself.
Right.
And not the hustle.
Because it is. It's like there's that self-care that we all forget about. And
yeah.
then suddenly, and in this, all industries, there's everybody's, and I say this a lot too. It's like you say this industry, but then you think it's fucked up. But specifically to this, you are giving more of you at work than any other career that right. you could possibly do.
And I also think what's been a major change in the industry is all of social media.
Right.
I used to, even as a business owner, I used to feel like you could come home from work. And now with like the 24/7, you know, updating this and updating that and, you know,
right.
and like, it's very hard to know, like, where does it end?
Where does the real person stop and the porn person begin?
Right. And it's okay for that to just be one. Like, I am Joanna Angel, you know?
Right.
Like, it's not a fake thing that I just use for work. Like, that is me.
Right.
But it's okay to just do things, you know, that benefit me as a human.
Right. That keep you happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the
like,
core of
go
it.
Go for a hike.
Right.
And don't post it on Instagram.
That's the biggest key. It doesn't have to be public.
Maybe go on 3 hikes and post one on Instagram,
right.
you know, and the other 2. Whatever it is, just have one part of yourself that just keeps you being you, I'd say.
Yeah.
So to keep that in mind.
Yeah, because it is, especially with the fucking, because all the social media is draining, but then when you have the Snapchat and there's that fucking follow me around and let me talk to you about this and having
right.
to keep the people engaged. I don't know how much it's like, you do OnlyFans, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah.
Snapchat, I feel like it's, I've dabbled in it for a little bit. And it was, I have so much respect for like the Cherie DeVilles and the Danny Daniels and all of these people who are every fucking day doing this thing. Cause it's
right.
like, me personally, just watching them, like, I have so much respect for them because I don't think I have the, I tried it and I'm like, I don't have the energy to fucking talk to you people every single day and tell you I'm going hiking and I'm having sushi today and tomorrow I'm going out for a steak
yeah.
dinner and I just fucked my wife. Like, I try and keep a lot more of it to me.
Right.
And that was the problem where, but I mean, like I said, kudos to the fucking people that are doing it.
Exactly,
God,
yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
There's a lot of money to be made. And if people are going to spend it, fucking get it.
Yes, exactly.
So, alrighty. I think we're good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
You ready
feeling
to get good.
Out here? Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm ready to go back okay. to.
Go back to that just plain old normal life.
Yeah. Go back to the.
Shut the porn off.
To the dinner and the Netflix.
I know, I'm excited. I'm like, I'm going home and watching Netflix later.
Yeah.
I'm telling you should do that show. Tell him
what
about
what show?
The it's Hustle and was it Hustle? I think it's Hustle and Flow. Not Hustle
No,
and Flow.
It's not that one. There's another one.
That's a fucking movie.
Rhythm.
Rhythm and Flow.
Was it that one?
I think that's the one. It's the documentary. Okay. It's like the talent contest for hip hop.
Okay, that sounds like a
fun And like show I said, it's got Cardi B in there. It's got Chance, the rapper, and I think it's T.I. also that's in there. It's like and the kids are super fucking talented, and it's just it's episodic. So it's like it's nice to where you get like an hour.
You start to get attached to them.
Yeah, like, exactly. Wow, but there's some talented motherfuckers on that show.
There are,
So if anybody likes hip hop, go watch that on Netflix. It's good. Alrighty, that's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. This was a lot of fun, and thank you for having me. Get beaten in your dungeon,
tied up and tortured.
It's an honor, and thank you. I love working for you. I love working for Kink. It's been wonderful.
I'm just thinking about it. Like we didn't even talk about shooting.
Yeah, we didn't even talk. Yeah, but they can see the shoot. Yeah. They know where to find it.
And plus, I like doing this better. I like having it to where we get to know you.
Yeah.
So, but you were welcome, and thank you for still putting up with my shit.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.